Welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Each day we'll look at a text from the weekly readings from the Westgate Church Bulletin. We will look at background material and also application of the text. So once again, welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. The
reading today comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Romans 6 happens in a section of the book of Romans where Paul is laying out an analogy with the Exodus event. We go back to the Exodus and we just remember the nation of Israel was in slavery in Egypt. They cry out to God. God sends a deliverer, Moses, and we have the 10 plagues, and we have the final plague, the death of the firstborn. Israel is led out and they come to the Red Sea. God parts the water. Israel goes through the water. There's this water event, so they go through the water and they are rescued. They come out. And for 40 days, they travel to Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, they receive the law. And then after wandering for around 40 years in the wilderness, they finally receive the inheritance of the land of Canaan. Now, the progression that's really important to understand when you look at Romans chapter 6 is this. You have God's people and the promises God made to his people through Abraham. They're in slavery. They have a water event that they're led through, and they're rescued in this water event. They receive the law at Mount Sinai, and then they go in and possess the land of promise. So those are the major components that Paul is going to use to build his argument in Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. So Romans chapter 6 is part of this larger big picture of the Exodus. So Romans 5, we had a reading yesterday from Romans 5. Romans 5 is about the promises God has made to his people, the conditions of sin and how we're in Adam and how this is a universal condition, and then this free gift of grace, how God would fulfill his promises to Abraham. And then in chapter 6, we have this water event. We have baptism, and it's linked to this concept of freedom from slavery. So we're free from the bondage of sin. A water event happens for us. Then in chapter 7 of Romans, it's talking about the law and how the law has dominion over us as long as we are in the flesh. If we're in Adam and we don't have this new birth in Jesus Christ, if we're not died to this old way of living, the law, because of our sinful flesh, reigns over us. So we have to die to that, and we die to the law. And then in chapter 8 of Romans is a beautiful picture of our inheritance as Christians. And we're led by the Spirit. Just as Israel was led through the wilderness, we had this new promised land experience where we as Christians received the cosmos, basically, as our land of promise. So it's really cool how that connects to the Exodus, and I thought I would share that with you because that puts Romans 6 in context. This is a water event. This is baptism. And Paul is telling us what God does for us in baptism. I say this a lot to people. When we talk about baptism to people, we get it all wrong because we argue what we are doing. There's a huge divide. Let's just be honest. Among Christians today, there's a huge divide about, is baptism necessary? Is it important? Is it just a symbol? Does it really even matter if you get baptized? And all sides on this debate, one big mistake they make is they argue what we do. How do we respond? And boy, we've really missed the point of Scripture, where Scripture talks about what God is doing in baptism. And that's nothing about works or, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish. This is all dripping with grace. When you talk about God doing something in baptism, it kind of freaks people out a little bit because we live in this world where we think platonically. Now, what I mean by we think platonically, we've been so influenced by Greek thought that we have this ridiculous divide between physical and spiritual. We say, well, nothing physical is going to bring about anything. Type of spiritual blessing in a person's life. Well, that's a heresy. That's called Gnosticism. Now, that's not biblical at all. The Bible has no problem with seeing that God could actually infuse people with grace and with heavenly life through something physical like baptism. The church called these things sacraments, you know, sacraments, this idea that that God is doing something in these signs. Now, yes, they're outward signs, but God is operating upon people. Even the reformers didn't have a problem with this. It's later Protestant Christianity that really struggles with this idea of God infusing supernatural life through physical signs. So this passage means what it says. Let's don't try to explain away what Romans 6 is talking about. When he talks about baptism, he is talking about baptism. This is not some metaphor, and he is meaning what he's saying here. So let's read our passage. This is Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. Now, he's going to start off with a little rhetorical device by asking a question, because obviously in Rome, people are abusing grace. Well, they're abusing grace, and Paul's going to point out how silly that really is. So let's start with our reading, Romans 6, 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. So what Paul is saying here is there's an old paradigm. This paradigm is the first Adam. You know, we lived in the first Adam because we were dominated by sin and death. We had the epithymia. The epithymia is the passions of the flesh. This bent nature, so to speak, that when the law came to us, the law of Moses, or any law for that matter, rebellion wells up in our heart because of the sinful flesh. So Paul is saying something drastic has to happen to you. You must die. And the way you die is through baptism. You put to death that old person. So in some sense, baptism is a funeral and a resurrection. You know, we go through a series in our life of death and resurrection. I mean, think about it. When we're born, you come from your mother's womb, and in a sense, you're dying to that world when you're born. You come into this new world, kicking and screaming, literally, into this new existence, this new resurrection. Throughout our life, we go through this as adults. You know, when we leave home as college students, or going out in our career, and we leave our families as we kind of start our new life, that's a type of death and resurrection to a new way of existence. Marriage, in some ways, is a death to being a single person, and you're being raised to be united with this new person in marriage. And baptism is this is not a metaphor. You are literally dying to an old paradigm. The epithymia, the sinful flesh, is being put to death. You're receiving the Holy Spirit. And so in Christ, literally, you are in Jesus. So through Christ, you die with him on the cross. You are in Christ. You have union with him. So because he died on the cross, that's appropriated to you in your life. But now you have resurrection life. Where is Jesus now? Well, he's at the right hand of the Father, ascended, resurrected, and alive. And you're in him, as Ephesians would say. You've been raised up in the heavenly places. So in this union with Christ, you are with him, so to speak, in the heavenlies. You have this supernatural resurrection life. So this is beautiful. I want to remind you of your own baptism. Maybe you didn't understand this about your baptism, but now you can understand it and say, thank God, thank you for doing this to me. You know, I don't think you've got to have a doctoral dissertation to get baptized. A lot of times we don't understand what God did for us, but something miraculous happened when you were baptized into Christ. God put you to death, so to speak, to an old way of living, and raised you up with Christ. And he gave you this heavenly newness of life. So please today accept the beauty of this passage. Don't argue this away. Don't make this a metaphor. This means what it says. Paul's given no caveats here. At your baptism, you died to an old paradigm. You've been raised to a new way of living. You are united with Christ. Your old self is gone. It's been crucified. It was put on the cross with Jesus, so to speak. So you're no longer a defeated slave to sin. Well, because of the length of our reading and the length of this podcast, I won't read it again today, but I just hope you embrace this teaching, realize that you have victory, realize that sin no longer has its grip on you. I'm bothered by Christian saying, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I get that you were a sinner saved by grace, but you're no longer a sinner in Christ. You're a resurrected, life-filled being right now. And live in that reality. Paul would say, don't continue in sin that grace may abound. That's crazy. Live a life that's been liberated from the shackles of sin and the sinful passions of the flesh. Because, remember, you have been baptized. That old man was put to death. So I hope you have a great day. I hope this teaching has helped you today. And I hope to see you back. We'll be back on Monday with our next podcast.